To the fifth, it should be said that if there were one animal alone, its soul would be everywhere first, but what? Prajñānsa. There we're kind of supposing that there's only this one animal, right? So if the dog, this one dog, is the only thing it was, the soul of this one dog would be everywhere. But it happens, right, that this one dog is the only thing there is, right? But God doesn't, by happening, be everywhere. Because that, without which other things cannot be, is not by happening everywhere where it's giving existence. And the sixth one is about the eyes looking around the universe and so on. To the sixth, it should be said that when it is said that the soul sees somewhere, this can be understood in two ways. In one way, according as this adverb somewhere determines the act of seeing on the side of the object. And thus, it is true that when it sees the heavens, it sees in the heavens. And the same reason, it senses in the heavens. But it does not follow that it lives in these heavens or that it is in the heavens, right? Because to live and to be do not imply an act going over to an exterior object. In another way, it can be understood according as the adverb determines the act of seeing, according as it goes forth in one seeing. And thus it is true that the soul, where it senses and sees, there it is and lives, according to this way of speaking. And thus it does not follow that it is everywhere. Kind of a strange objection, huh? Okay. Now we're up to the immutability of God. Huh? Let's start this one. Now this is going to be the, what, fourth attribute of God, right? We know so far that he's altogether simple, right? We know that he's perfect, right, and therefore good. And third, we know he's what? Infinite. That's the main thing, is infinite, right? And consequently everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So just as good was attached to the consideration of divine perfection, right? So God being everywhere was attached to the consideration of his infinity, right? And likewise we'll see that the consideration of the divine eternity, right, follows upon his being what?
Unchangeable.
Yeah, yeah. Just as time follows upon something being changeable. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So sometimes at the end of the philosophy of nature course, when I take up motion and time a bit, then I'll make kind of a side to God's being unchangeable and God being eternal, right? Because they involve the negation of motion and time. So, consequently, we're not to consider about the immutability, the unchangeableness, and the divine eternity, which what follows the unchangeableness of it. Now, concerning the unchangeableness of God, two things are sought. First, whether God is altogether what? Unchangeable. Secondly, whether to be unchangeable is what? Private to God, right? Huh? God alone, huh? Is unchangeable. Huh? And what do you do with someone who's unchangeable? Huh? Now Julius Caesar there in the play, huh? He compares himself to the North Star, you know, and everything else revolves around him. He doesn't move at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything revolves around him. Marvelous the way Shakespeare presents it. To the first one proceeds thus. It seems that God is not altogether unchangeable. For whatever moves itself is in some way changeable. But as Augustine says in the eighth book on Genesis to the letter, I guess St. Jerome was what complaining about is not sticking to the text close enough, huh? So it's on Genesis ad literam, to the letter, to the word. The creator spiritus moves, right, itself neither through what time nor through place. Therefore, God is in some way mutable. The Holy Spirit is said to what? Move himself, right? Okay. Moreover, in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7, it is said about wisdom that it's more mobile than all mobile things. But God is what?
Wisdom.
Itself. Huh? Therefore, God is mobile. Reminds me of that fragment of Heraclitus, right? We speak to this wisdom moving, you know, through all things, huh? Moreover, to approach or to get further away signify motion. But these things are said about God in Scripture. Approach God and he will what? Approach you, right? You go to God and he'll come to you. Therefore, God is changeable. Huh? But against this is what is said in the prophet Malachi, huh? Chapter 3, verse 6. I am God, and I do not, what? Change, huh? Mm-hmm. What's the other text is in what? Is it James, the Epistle of James? One of the epistles there. Canonical epistles.
Yeah.
Not the shadow of change, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they mention it here.
Yeah, let me just quote it later on.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was from... the drawing here.
Okay. I answer it should be said that from the four sent, it can be shown that God is altogether unchangeable. First, because above it has been shown that there is some first being, right, which we call God, and that this first being is what? Pure act, right? Without any admixture of any potency or ability. In that potency is simply after act. Huh? That's what Aristotle shows in the ninth book of what? Wisdom, huh? The book of the metaphysics, huh? That potency simply is after act. But everything that in any way changes is in some way in ability or in potency, from which it is clear that it is impossible for God in some way to what? Change, huh? Okay? Is that clear enough? God is pure act, right?
Mm-hmm.
What changes is able to be something other than it is, right? So there's no ability in God in this passive sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he can't change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or the idea that what, you know, the definition of motion, if you recall it, is the act of what is able to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Insofar as it's able to be. So what is moved or changed is an ability, right? But God is not in ability, but he's pure act, huh? Okay. So this idea that God is pure act is a middle term for almost all these attributes, if not all of them. Secondly, because everything that moves as regards something remains, as regards something it what? Passes away, right? Just as what is moved from whiteness to blackness remains in its substance. And thus, in everything that is moved, there is to be noted some composition. But it has been shown above that in God there is no what? Composition. He's altogether simple. Whence it is manifest that God is not able to be moved. Okay. If you go back to the philosophy of nature, we see that very clearly, that the thing that changes must be composed, huh? Remember how the thing went there in the fire?